It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. And as we've been saying, it's the moment Star Wars fans have been waiting for. Star Wars The Force Awakens opens nationwide tomorrow. Today.
Tonight.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Do we have your microphone? Joe Woes is so anxious to talk. He's like jumping the gun on getting the microphone open. It opens technically tonight, I guess. Well, is it midnight?
It'll open right around midnight, but they're running Star Wars. You can see it for 24 hours. They're running the entire series.
You're so excited. Okay, well, technically that's still tomorrow,
yes,
right?
Okay, all right.
So it opens tomorrow nationwide. Here to address the enduring popularity of Star Wars is the guy who's like already had two false starts out of the blocks, cartoonist and pop culture contributor Joe Woes. Hello, Joe.
You can tell how excited I am.
Yes, you are. Well, understandably, I did not realize, and this helps explain your excitement, is that you were there on opening day in 1977 when the Star Wars saga all began. You were in Monroeville at the, was it the Showcase East in Monroeville?
Showcase Cinemas East, yes.
And explain this, because apparently Star Wars, unlike now where there's nowhere you can go on the planet Earth and not know that Star Wars is opening tomorrow, unlike that, back in 1977, there were only 32 theaters across the country and worldwide that were showing Star Wars?
Yes, it's sort of remarkable when you think about it. When we open films, we're saying, you know, 1,000 screens and, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of theaters, but Star Wars was only on 32 screens. So it's one of those situations where people say, I was there opening day, and chances are they probably weren't, because it was in such a limited number of theaters. But I saw it. I was 6 years old. We waited in line on that opening day, me and my dad.
Wow.
So it was instantly a phenomenon.
May 25th, 1977 is the day that Star Wars opened and that it all began. I mean, prior to that, nobody had heard of Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader and Han Solo and Princess Leia. R2-D2 and C-3PO. And by the way, we had Anthony Daniels on this this show, because he comes to Pittsburgh and teaches at CMU. But none of this had ever been heard of. Lightsabers, what's that? You know, maybe if you talk about a Star Trek phaser. So, prior to this, there was a dearth of science fiction movies. Science fiction was like the thing of the 50s and the 60s, and then it went away for like 10 years. What happened, and how did Star Wars bring it back?
Well, it just sort of had fallen out of popularity. This happened with Westerns. This happens with genre films. It may or may not happen with superheroes at some point. Star Wars really combined a lot of different genres. It was a space film. But it was also a Western film. It was also a samurai film. He pulled from so many different kinds of source material to make this film. So it had a really generational appeal. And what drove my dad to see it was there had been that just sort of glut. There was nothing. He grew
up. After 2001, Space Odyssey, which was a Stanley Kubrick, very adult science fiction film, you just didn't see. I think the last one I could remember seeing before Star Wars was the Daleks. They showed it as a double feature with Night of the Living Dead at the Regent in East Liberty, and then you couldn't go see science fiction. You had to see it as a rerun on Chiller Theater, but you couldn't see it in the theaters. And then a lot of kids like you, like me, all of a sudden it's like, what's this? There's a space movie in there?
Yeah, it was our dad's.
And you didn't know. There was no kind of preconception of what you were going to see. It's like, this is new and it's different. Explain how Star Wars was a different kind of science fiction film.
So it pulled a lot from Flash Gordon, is initially how it came about. George Lucas actually wanted to make a Flash Gordon movie, but he couldn't get the rights. So he decided, I'm going to set out and create something totally different on that basis, that I want to make a space movie. And it was just so unique. The characters represented generations. You had Luke Skywalker, this young kid. So that spoke to a certain age, you know, this young 20-something. You had Han Solo, who was sort of this, you know, developed sort of this sarcastic
cynical
30-something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you had Obi-Wan Kenobi, who was this wise, you know, old man, you know. So you had this sort of cross-generation thing that appealed to everyone. It was so different because it represented all these generations. It had a strong female lead. In
Carrie
Princess
Fisher,
Leia,
yeah.
who easily could have rescued herself. She was just so, you know, tough and so take charge.
Well, that was a Hall of Fame cast. You had Peter Cushing was one of the leaders of the dark. What is it? The Force.
Yeah,
the,
he was one of the leaders early of the evil empire.
Empire. That's what
sort
I
of, you know, and that was intentional because if you look at the prequels, they brought in Christopher Lee. Who had been a partner in so many of Peter Cushing's and the Hammer horror films.
Right.
So it was Lucas paying tribute to the horror films, the Westerns, and the science fiction films of the past, but giving us this sort of neat update that really, you know, it was the first time there was a science fiction film that was dirty. Not dirty in an adult sense, but it was gritty. It was...
Well, you also had the bar scene. And that's the scene
exactly
that really
it.
Set this apart because you had, unlike, you know, monsters, you know, walking, in, you know, ambling their way toward you in some sort of weird slow motion, brainless rhythm, you had this nuanced scene in a bar where you had all these different crazy kind of characters that sort of represented what you might see when you walk into a bar, like all different elements of humanity or of life. And that set it apart too, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, completely set the whole universe apart because these weren't monsters in the sense that they were villains or they were, you know, those creatures just coming at you as it described. This was a cross-section of the universe, the Star Wars universe. You know, you had one or two that were sort of villainous characters, you know, such as Greedo, but you had just sort of this cross-section of the universe. You had characters that you would assume if you were to walk into any bar.
And, of course, Han Solo walks in there. He knows, like, everybody in the bar, which tells you something about the character. We're running out of time, but our culture contributor Joe Rose with us. So how is this new movie opening at midnight tonight, or tomorrow, as the case may be? How is this a return to that early Star Wars?
Well, they've brought back, you know, that original cast. They've brought back, you know, the characters we know, Han Solo, Leia, Luke Skywalker, and it's really that. And it also just connects. This is the first one it really connects because I'm a parent. These are characters I grew up with. Now I get to share those with my kids. That's the appeal.
It appeals to now it's a multi-generational cultural thing. Joe Woes, I don't imagine you're going to go to this tonight, are you?
I'm actually going first thing tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And I'll see it at least six times.
I'm sure you will. Joe Woes, our culture contributor, talking about Star Wars. Joe, always a pleasure. May the Force be with you and happy holidays.
Thank you very much. May the Force be with you.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. Tomorrow, a holiday special celebrating the sights and sounds of the holidays in Pittsburgh. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.